And the first question is real similar to the first question from last week, that because of technology, we have all kind of gotten used to or adjusted to instant gratification. You know, we get out a computer and look up something, we have the facts right at our fingertips. We turn on the TV, it comes right on. You know, you don't even have to wait until a TV show comes on. You can record it or you can play it back by streaming, and you know, everything is right there. So, because of things being, you know, us getting used to things coming instantly, sometimes we tend to lose our patience, which if we already had a problem with that, you know, that just doubles down on it. But anyway, how can we sometimes act if things are slow to arrive? Like, just for instance, traffic. Say you get in a long traffic line. You know, there's a wreck or there's construction or somebody's just not moving. So how do we behave sometimes?
Impatience.
What?
Not happy.
That's so mild, Sandra. That's so you. I put angry, rude.
Aggravated.
I like to keep my GPS, the map, on a lot in my car because, you know, if I come up on something like that, I immediately start looking for a way around because I don't want to sit and wait. So, but sometimes that extends to people, too. Like, what if we're in a restaurant and we, you know, they didn't refill our drinking time? I mean, I'm guilty of this because I drink a lot and they're never fast enough. And, you know, it's easy to get impatient with people as well if they don't pop to and get things done at the speed we think they should be done.
That's why we speak sometimes rashly, you know, and we say things actually we shouldn't be saying. So, but we tend to let our mood mouth.
Things pop out, don't they?
Brain, you know?
Right. And that results in hurt feelings. Unless we're in the car by ourselves, you know, we can rant and rave on our own, I guess. But sometimes things come out that, you know, can be taken the wrong way or can be taken the right way, the way they were intended. And, you know, yes, we can apologize, but does that take away the sound of those words in that other person's ears and the way that made them feel? So let's talk about, before we get into the actual how we can, if we can learn patience, how it can make us have more humility. Let's talk about some Bible characters who had to wait short or long periods or, you know, on something the Lord promised or salvation or justice or even, you know, just an everyday thing. What did y'all come up with?
Joseph.
He got put in prison for nothing. I mean, for no, that he didn't do, something he didn't do. And do you think he's the only one that ever happened to? That still happens, doesn't it? You know, there are people who are in prisons that, you know, that DNA proves 20 years later that it wasn't them. That kind of thing. And, you know, sometimes they get vindication, sometimes they don't. Either way, they've lost 20 years of their life, whatever. Who else?
Noah.
God told him to build an ark, and did he know how long in the beginning it was going to take before the flood came?
No.
Did he give up on the people around him? No, that didn't have anything to do with the lesson, but he kept preaching. Who else? What did Abraham have to wait on?
David, everything.
But what about his son? God told him he's going to have a son. Didn't happen.
Child.
Yeah, a child. Who else?
Paul. Having to wait for Timothy to bring what's happening in Corinth. You know, before he wrote the second letter, he had to. And Timothy wasn't where he was supposed to, you know, where Paul met, planned to meet him. And so
he had to wait.
And
in those days, they didn't have any way of communicating other than by, you know, a messenger or a letter or something that could take days to get anywhere. It wasn't like you'd pick up the call at the phone and say, I got detained.
Yeah.
Who did you say, Tally?
David.
What did he wait on?
Well, he had to wait on Saul. And Saul was mean to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was patient. He always listened to God.
Right. Right. But what was he waiting on? What did God promise him or told him? Yeah, he was already anointed king.
Well, he never saw that. He waited 7 years before he saw that.
To Jerusalem. Right. He reigned in Hebron. That wasn't during Saul's life? Okay. I thought that was concurrent. Okay. He would not. Even though he had been anointed king, so had Saul. And even though Saul had been disavowed by God or disinherited, he was still in that position, and David was still waiting for God to come through on his promise, to fulfill his promise. Yeah, I guess. Y'all are too, or this is going to get you. I put this right too. And even after they left Egypt, I put Caleb and Joshua, because they had to wait 40 years for God's promise to be fulfilled because of the sin and the unbelief of the Israelites. You know, they were the only ones that lived through all of that and got to go into the promised land, of their age. So, what about the Jews waiting on the Messiah? Some are still waiting today. They're mistaken, but they waited a long time, didn't they? And they had prophets to keep them up front in their minds, you know, that God was going to fulfill his promise, that it was coming. And I also put Jacob waiting for Rachel. Happily. Totally happily. 7 years. 7 years sounds like a long time, but, you know, the older we get, I'm sure y'all feel this too. It seems like it was like that. Any other comments y'all want to make before we go ahead?
Yeah.
Who?
Anna.
Oh, the prophetess? Yes. Yes. Okay.
Cynthia Christian, that fear in Revelation 6, I know it's wrong.
The ones that are under the throne. Yes, they're still waiting. Yes, they're still waiting. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 37. Susan Dunbar, can you read real loud and read 7 to 9, please? Yes. Okay, I think that waiting on the Lord involves more than just being patient for our salvation or for Jesus' return or whatever. I think it involves also service, being available to him, to be obedient to him, and that kind of thing. But in this case, it's also talking about not fretting over things that make us mad those who are prospering, you know, when we're not. And we just need to be patient. We need, in our waiting for the Lord, because he has promised us so much. We do have earthly blessings, but as far as our eternal salvation and our eternal home, that's a huge promise. And if we lose faith and get tired of waiting, then what? We don't get that. You know, we lose it. And how will this help us be patient, be waiting on the Lord and his promises? Right. We have to be. If we're not, we're going to lose our faith. It just boils down to that. You know, there's no. If we're not patient in our waiting on the Lord, then we've lost it all. Like these moments did. Okay. I also put Psalm 27, where it's discussing imminent danger. Take courage, wait for the Lord. You know, say we're faced with something in our lives that, not particularly physical danger, but say spiritual danger, where, you know, some life-altering event happens and it would be so easy to lose our faith because things aren't turning out like we thought they would, or we think God has left our side or whatever. You know, it can be very difficult to wait and trust the Lord to fulfill his promises. What are some of y'all did?
I did I looked at the opposite. David, you know, wrote very many good psalms about waiting on the Lord and that kind of thing. In Psalm 102, verse 2, he's writing, "Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress.
incline your ear to me in the day when I call, answer quickly, for my days have been consumed in smoke, so forth and so on. So, you know, I don't think he is so impatient with the Lord, but you know, it shows us a heart of, God, I trust you, and please, I'm suffering, so answer quickly. You know, so to pray okay. That is not a sin, or, you know, to expect God, maybe we'll do that, but not be angry with God when he says, wait.
Okay.
Even David said,
right.
I want it now.
Right. That is another danger, of being angry with God when things aren't going like they should, or we think they should. That can cause spiritual problems and faith problems as well. Anybody else? Okay.
Something I love about it is, you know, people say, God doesn't understand. God doesn't have any intention. God does not have anything of us that he is not supposed to. And he's patient because he wants everybody to know. And, but we don't think about it the other way around. God's patience with us, and why shouldn't I be patient with whatever trial he is to us? Because that trial may be something that he's using to teach me a lesson or to bring me back to where I need to be.
Right. Hebrews 10:36 says, you have need of endurance so that you may receive the promise. It's very humbling, isn't it, if we stop and think about the fact that God is patient with me. How many chances do I get?
All we have to do is see how patient God is. And the people that he took these people out of Egypt and took their gods with them, and yet he continued to bless them. He would have taken them right into the land if they did not. And how we can make it. His patience just continues. And it still continues today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes I look at the world and I think, I cannot begin to imagine the patience of God. You can have it in here.
Yeah, I'm absolutely amazed we're still here. Just really amazing.
And, you know, one of the things that I think you're looking for in the nations today and political unrest all over the world is, why doesn't God do something? Well, he is. We just don't know what he's doing. But it also says that he's patient, not willing that any, you know, that all of them have repented. So maybe he's giving them a chance. Maybe he's working a plan, you know, to bring them to their knees.
Well, he's really given our nation a chance, because there's so much ungodliness and worldliness that, you know, hard to believe that he hasn't rained fire and brimstone on the whole country, the whole world, really. No, we don't need to know that.
No, we don't need to know. We really should. It would destroy the happiness we have today.
Right.
I get feeling like that. Psalms 33 is a good place to turn, because it talks about God seeing all men, seeing the nations and working in the nations, and notifying the council of the nations. And it's the same thing that Jesus may say when he's from, you know, Psalm 2, it talks about the nations where we're, you know, we're coming out of war and the rulers and everything. But Christ is coming.
Right.
And he can, you know, so, you know, we can read these things and have confidence that God is still in control.
Okay. I put Romans 12:12 about where it's in that list of things about behaving like a Christian. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer. To me, that goes along with James 1, where it's talking about, you know, trials and tribulations are for us to learn patience, for us to learn endurance. To help us build up our faith to be stronger. You know, sometimes that's what we need if we can get through that kind of thing, we come out on the other end stronger and, you know, an example to people, you know, an encouragement to people. Hebrews, I already said that, didn't I? Hebrews 10. Let's look at James 5. I mentioned James 1, but what are we waiting for? In the long run, I've mentioned it several times, but what? Sum it up, basically, what we're waiting for. Exactly. Our own salvation, and as Linda pointed out a while ago, vindication, like the souls under the throne that are, you know, crying out, how long, Lord, how long? You know, we're waiting for the same thing, because that's, you know, when the end comes, That's what God's going to be doing. James 5, 7 and 8. Elizabeth, will you read that, please?
Therefore, be patient until the coming of the Lord. Bear with the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rain. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts. The coming of the Lord is near.
Okay, it mentions the farmer, how he waits for the results of his sowing and his planting. You know, he knows what's going to happen, but he still has to wait for it. It doesn't happen overnight. And the same way, we have to be patient, because we don't know when the Lord's going to come. You know, that's reiterated multiple times in the New Testament. We need to be ready at all times. And if we can keep our hearts humble, that helps us to be patient, to bow our will to the will of God, to remember that, you know, He's in control. He's the one that makes the decisions. He decides when. We can't control that. And we're going to talk in the next section about, you know, things that are out of our control. But there's no point in dwelling on that stuff, because it's out of our control. There's nothing we can do. Any other comments on number three?
Well, the farmer doesn't always know.
Well, he knows what to expect. He's done his part. Obviously, weather can change that, or floods.
Right. Don't always.
Exactly. The same with us. But in general, you know, like we say, we make plans. We grow up. We get married. We have kids. You know, we just assume our life's going to unfold maybe the way our parents did. Yeah, in a certain way. We have, you know, we see things around us, and we expect that to happen. But, you know, when the world is changing, like our world is changing, and, you know, I think often about my grandmother when I was in my, she died when I was 20. But when I was a teenager, I remember her getting so upset over boys wearing long hair. And, you know, if you think back to the Beatles' long hair, that was not long hair. That was just the beginning. That was nothing. You know, things like that really bothered her. And I know that she saw so many changes in her lifetime, I wonder what in the world she would think today. You know, technology is a good thing, but when you think about the fact that, you know, we have so many things that make our lives easier, washers and dryers and dishwashers, and I don't know if my grandmother even had a dishwasher, microwaves, you know, things that change our lives. And I mean, they've all almost just kicked us out of the kitchen. We almost don't have to do anything. To get something ready. Well, not as a kid, she didn't. She grew up in a dugout. You know, people used to have to go somewhere else to do their laundry. I did when I first got married. You know, we didn't have a washer and dryer. I had to go to the laundromat. But if you think about how easy our lives have become, and how easy it would be to become lazy and not non-workers because of that, I sometimes I just think that's not a good thing. You know, progress.
That goes back to that prayer, that we recognize the blessings that
right.
God has given us, and
right.
Be thankful.
Right. All those things, like I said earlier, make it harder for us to be patient. And as Pat also said, if we just read the scriptures and stay in tune with God and the way God works and the way God thinks and the way He wants us to be, you know, that can change our lives. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but y'all know what I'm saying.
But it's also easy to get impatient. Just if you watch the news, just the gay rights movement and everything, I think, God, why are you allowing such evil?
That's why I don't watch the news. I just quit watching it. It's too depressing.
It's awful. And I said, why are you allowing it? And then, you know, the Holy Spirit says in Psalm 37, don't fret because of evildoers, you know, so forth and so on, you know.
It's so frustrating to turn on a new show that you're all excited about, and then the first, like, I like NCIS, and the new one is Hawaii. The very first episode had two women in a clinch kissing.
Exactly.
I told my kid, I can't watch it. I'm not going to watch this. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Anyway, if we don't have a sound faith, how are we going to react to that stuff? Just let it pass over our head? You know what it makes me think of? How easy it is to ignore bad language. You know, we used to think bad language was bad. That is so nothing now compared to what we're dealing with. Not that it's not wrong, but it's so minor compared to what... I know. Women, you never hear a woman say anything. Now it's just filthy. People are just filthy.
Lost children in 2 years.
Yes, it's children. You're right. It's sick me. I don't know why parents don't think there's something wrong with that. You'd think they would think, oh, I better clean up my mouth so my kid doesn't talk like that.
Well, it used to be just men.
That's what Nadine just said. Women. She said women, you never heard it out of a woman. And usually only rough men, not not most men.
I mean, like a sailor's what I heard.
Yes. Usually sailors. All right. In what ways are we to be patient with people? What y'all have here? With a scripture.
When somebody's done wrong to us.
Did you have a verse?
2 Timothy 2:24.
This kind of goes along with another lesson we had. You know, do they necessarily, you know, maybe it's something they did on purpose. Maybe they were mad and did something wrong. Or maybe they're just selfish and are putting themselves first. But, you know, if it's a little thing, you know, can we let it go? But if we cannot discuss it with them and we cannot get them to repent or be sorry for it, what can we do?
Pray for them.
We can pray for them, but what can we do with them, to them, with them?
Treat them in a manner that they see Christ.
Exactly. Right.
Retaliation in the same way they're treating us.
The opposite of retaliation. Show them how they really ought to be acting. Sometimes it embarrasses people and makes them realize how they've done wrong. Not often, because some people don't care. A lot of people don't care. You know, the world is all me, 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 and they don't care what anybody else thinks. But if we're going to be patient with other people, we have to be humble enough to realize that they have needs too. They have thoughts, and you know, maybe they don't think the way I do, and maybe something they did that hurt me, they didn't mean to hurt me, but they, you know, they're just different. I think, Pat, that verse you're talking about though is about they've actually done something sinful.
They've actually done something wrong to you,
right?
Even though.
Right. Right. And we have an obligation, if they're Christians, to talk to them about it.
Yeah, that's mandatory.
Right. Right.
We're to turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
But these people may not always be Christians.
That's right. You know, if we're not humble about it, as far as looking at the other person from the standpoint of we're all different. You know, we're in different stages of maturity or spirituality or education or ignorance. You know, that kind of thing. We can't control everything about everybody. Everybody has different backgrounds, upbringing. You know, different parents teach their kids different things. And, you know, some parents think this is important, some parents don't. That kind of stuff. We have to... I put 1 Corinthians 13:7, that love bears all things. If we love our brethren or our neighbor, then we're going to... understand, you know, with humility in our heart, understand that, you know, they're not just like me and I can't make them be just like me. You know, we're different. And just be patient with them. You know, give them a break. Give them the benefit of the doubt. That's what I'm looking for.
That's what I put down along with your 1 Corinthians 10:13. Sometimes people say things and, you know, we don't need to misjudge what they mean either, you know. Sometimes they say things, maybe they're not on the spiritual level, or maybe they're having a bad day, and they react badly to something, and then they take it out on you, and just, you know, you're patient with that, you know, especially if you see that they're in a rough spot, you know, and they're going through stuff, you know. You don't need to be overcritical. And sometimes we did, especially our spouses, you know, especially if they haven't gotten around to the honey-do list that you gave them a long time ago. You know.
Hey, I can't even get around to my own honey-do list, so that gives me a little measure of understanding with other people. Yeah. Especially, you know, the older we get, the slower we are, the harder it is to get stuff done. At least that's been my experience.
Oh, there are no mirrors in my house.
No mirrors. You don't need a mirror. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." When that says be patient, is that anything different than what we've already been discussing? With people, it's a matter of forbearance, isn't it? it's like I said a minute ago, give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they did mean to be mean. Maybe they did mean to be rude and ugly and hateful. Sometimes people are just hateful people, you know. But even in that case, we can be patient with that. Right, Sandra?
Ephesians 4:2 is also talking about that very thing. It's talking about walking worthy of your calling.
I'll have that.
And then that verse 2 says, be long-suffering and bearing with one another.
Right. And that, I like that that's connected with walking worthy of your calling. You know, remember who we are. Yes? I thought you were going to say something. Why is it hard to be patient?
We want everything right now.
Yep. Yep. We have to delay things. We have to wait sometimes on things. And then we have to live with the frustration of having to wait. You know, sometimes say you're trying to get into a doctor. I mean, you know, if you've got one of those health plans that you have to have referrals and you've got to wait for so-and-so to send it to so-and-so and get you lined up, you know, that can be very frustrating, can it? Very frustrating. And if we can learn to live with that and be patient, then, you know, we can avoid high blood pressure and stroke. Also, it's often indefinite. I mentioned traffic a while ago. If you can see, you know, taillights for, you know, a couple of blocks, that's one thing. We can generally deal with that. But if you see, if, like, say the road is curved and you can see cars stopped for, you know, all the way to the horizon, you know, out on a highway or something, that is really hard to deal with something that's indefinite. If you don't see an end, if you can't see an end inside, that I think that makes it harder to be patient and therefore, you know, humble about it. You know, we just think, you know, I've got to get where I got to get. I'm important. I got to be there. You know, I need to get past all these people that are just holding me up. So if we can maintain humility and learn to deal with our frustration and impatience. I think it's circular. You know, I think one helps with the, you know, being patient helps with being humble, and being humble helps with being patient. Both.
Don't want to be one of those passing everybody on the road.
Yeah.
It's a stoplight
stop. Right. Or you know, you're at an exit or you're merging, and somebody comes zooming up and cuts in front of everybody because they're more important. But we can be patient with them too.
But what they need to say, I think, is you see some people in a hurry, 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 hurry. They're weaving in and out, and you get to the red light, and they're stopped right next to you.
Oh, yeah. I just understood that, yeah. I was laughing at it. I was like, yeah, see how much good that did you.
And then we get joy.
Then we get what?
Joy.
Yes, we do. It makes us feel vindicated, doesn't it? Okay, what also I put down that it's hard to watch others get what we need or want, or gain what we need or want. If we can be, you know, work on our humility to the point that we can rejoice with others for getting what they need or want, or if it's something that I want but they get it first, you know, like they got into the doctor first, you know, you're both trying to get into the same doctor and they got in first, you know, be happy for them. The humility will keep us from comparing our lives with others or ourselves with others and what they're doing and not doing and getting and not getting. And of course, I'm talking about physical things now because we're not all going to heaven here and there. You know, we're not being ripped up to heaven, you know, willy-nilly here and there. We're talking about earthly things that, you know, be happy for people. You know, that get a leg up or get ahead, or somebody else gets the promotion you wanted, or somebody has a girl and you have all boys, you know, or, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, any other comments on that?
Many times when we're sitting in the wreck, instead of being so impatient, we ought to pray God and thank God that it wasn't us.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd been a few minutes sooner, this could have been me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Stephen and I, when we were on one of our trips, and I can't remember, I think it was Tennessee, but anyway, we were just, I mean, seconds ahead of a woman getting killed in a wreck. And you think, you know, if I'd left 2 minutes later, that could have been me. Hopefully you wouldn't have pulled out, we wouldn't have pulled out in front of a big truck like she did. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you just, things happen in an instant. And instead of being aggravated, that now this is going to take 30 minutes out of my life or 2 hours out of my life, whatever it is. assuming, think, well, that wasn't me, and I'm still living here, and I have the opportunity to wait. This person doesn't.
You know, it's like standing at the door ready to go somewhere, and your spouse is slow or, you know, piddling around or can't find something. Maybe that's God's providence. You know, you just never know. We need to learn to be patient and not try to control the stuff we can't control, which is other people, whether it's a spouse or somebody in another car.
I think about that sometimes when something happens to us and maybe we can't do something that we really wanted to do. Well, maybe it was God's will that we weren't on the road at that time.
Exactly. I lost. My family lost 3 days on our trip to Branson because my sister-in-law died. We had to go to a funeral instead. And no, that wasn't fun. I hated it for the kids. You know, they didn't. Kids sure don't like funerals. Nobody does. But they were all very calm. I didn't hear one word of complaint from any of them about, you know, being shortened or. I mean, they were all. I was really proud of them. But, you know, and like Pat said, who knows if that we could have been on another road at the wrong time.
And who knows but what he's using this lesson to teach your grandchildren the lesson that they're going to need later in life.
Exactly.
Something more
priority.
Pressing or
right.
Who knows?
Right.
It comes down to selfishness instead of loving others, you know, as self. In James 3:16, for jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder in every evil thing. So, you know, it comes down to being self-absorbed and, you know, everything
it really
about
does.
Me.
It really
and
does.
The world we live in.
Do you think it's possible to be humble if we're like that, if we're self-absorbed and selfish? I don't think so. I don't think the two can coexist. I think you're right. And you know, there's a whole lot in the Bible about selfishness and being self-absorbed. And I don't know how Christians think they can get away with that. All right, how does patience produce humility? I mean, we've talked about this all along, but just sum it up a little bit.
But it makes us realize that there are things we cannot control and that we must wait.
That's exactly what I put. We cannot control everything. It requires dealing with things that are not under our control. It requires patience. We just have to learn to live with stuff sometimes. Things that are frustrating. Things that are concerning. Because God says, James 1, that you know, these kind of trials and tribulations are going to strengthen our faith. If we can be grateful for things like this and thank God for, you know, the opportunity to make me calm down, step back a little bit and think about the fact that, you know, this will make me stronger. I just got to get through it. And look at Galatians 6. Susan Hendrick, will you read verse 8 and 9, please?
For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary.
Okay, patience prepares us for what we're truly waiting for. You know, and obviously we have to wait for that. There is no getting around that wait. There's no whipping around somebody in traffic. There's no pushing our way to the front of the line. And, you know, there's no way to get out of that. And if we can keep that goal in mind that what we're waiting for is worth the wait, then apply that to every other area in our lives. You know, that doctor's appointment, you know, it's going to be worth it when I get in, you know, or whenever I can get this surgery scheduled or whatever. Or, you know, waiting for, say, your kids are sick and wait for your kids to get well so you can get back to your life. Yeah, things are disrupted. Things happen. We just have to learn to deal with the frustration and turn it into patience. Just convert it to patience.
We could learn not to let it frustrate us. You know, get to the point to where our faith, learn to always put others above ourselves. And that's a very hard lesson. I don't know that we ever get there. But if we can learn that and continue to work on that, it's going to make it a lot easier. Because what happens to the people who continually not to get the things that they want and things to turn out, things beyond their control, other people that they can't control, so many times we see them lose their faith.
That's right. Any other comments?
I think you said the right thing when you were talking about being thankful or grateful. You know, sometimes we go through things, and in learning patience, if we're impatient, we don't seem to be thankful for the good, you know. And
we don't look for the good.
We don't look for the good. We're so caught up in the suffering or the bad things or what's aggravating us, you know, that we don't look around and be thankful for the blessing of not only maybe it's coming from that, but for the blessings outside of that.
Right. Okay.